old man waves.
Damn you, old man!
Wait.
Old ass man.
Shut up, old man. You smell like fart.
No. Man.
Old man.
Wait. He's so old, he got a podcast on cassette.
Fuck, you're old.
Damn it, Wade.
You want to do this by yourself?
I really wish that you guys could see the look on my wife's face just now as I said something to her.
Maverick.
Welcome to the Old Man Wade Show. I am your host, the God of Stuff and the Lord of Laughter, Old Man Wade. And I'm sitting here in my lovely life.
Are you, though? Will you be rude?
With our normal enthusiasm, as always. So, due to some non-sequential happenings, I ended up losing everything that I recorded via GarageBand. I was originally going to some stuff from my buddy Steve Van Sampson with his book coming out called Mark of the Worm. I believe that's what it's called. But unfortunately, because of that, I needed content, and my wife was nice enough to take time away from her study. Oh, sorry. Mark of the Witch Worm. M-A-R-K of the Witch Worm is spelled W-I-T-C-H-W-I-R-M. And you can get it from roughhousepublishing.com. So I needed content. And my wife was nice enough to take some time in between studying to help me out with this. And I figured it was a perfect...
And then he called me loud.
As she says, as I'm looking at the levels, as she says that loud as fuck.
Shut up.
No.
Rude.
I am.
I was going to tell you to be loud, but do I have to tell you to be loud?
See, I didn't say all that. All I said was, I was going to tell you to be loud, but, and then I stopped. Okay, I was still being a dick.
Rude.
But if you're going to be a dick, quote, if I'm going to be a dick, quote me right. So, last night we watched the Britney Spears documentary, Freeing Britney Spears, or Free Britney Spears?
Wasn't it called, like, Framed or something? I don't know, I can't remember.
Regardless of what it was, we watched it last night, and it was, honest to Odin, it was, like, phenomenal. But I also want to point something out that my wife had been saying this about Britney Spears for years. While everybody was making fun of her for, like, shaving her head and some of the antics that she was doing, she was the one saying, like, someone in her camp needs to help her. You know what I mean? Like, someone needs to be like, hey, maybe stay, like, you know, just do some things that aren't going to, like, that aren't going to be detrimental to your mental health. And upon watching that, like, I knew the paparazzi was bad, but damn.
Yeah, well, like, what I was saying is everybody's watching her have, like, a nervous breakdown, but nobody's helping her. And the only person that comes across is her dad to take over her fucking financial and work life, and that was it. Like, I just feel like the world was watching a woman literally go into crisis on national, like, television, and people chose to make fun of her instead of realizing that, like, she was having a mental break. Like, she, like, couldn't handle it anymore. The pressure, the paparazzi, the, like, people constantly asking things and expecting things of her, and it's a lot. Like, it's a lot to be that person. Like, people always say they want to be famous, but there's a lot that comes into being famous. Especially back then, there wasn't as many rules and laws with paparazzi as there is now. Like, I feel like now they have to be back so far. They have to, like, because they did things like caused accidents and fucking people died, and because they were constantly in people's faces. I mean, imagine if you had somebody, like, not even somebody, a fucking mob of, like, people following you, flashing pictures.
Yeah,
like
it was
nonstop.
It wasn't just nasty, it was actually aggressive. By definition, what they were doing was incredibly aggressive. They were in her personal space. They didn't give a shit about her. I love how one guy was like, are you okay? But the camera was still flashing.
Yeah,
and
well,
then, like, and then, like,
he
then
also
made
some ridiculous statements about how, like, she never seemed to mind, like, the cameras. Like, I don't know why all of a sudden she, like, decided she was going to be aggressive. No, she told you, like, 10 times to get out of her fucking face, and then you didn't. So then she started to attack your car, so you'd back off of her. Like,
And then what was funny about it was, the person interviewing the dude for the paparazzi goes, well, didn't she say to like, leave her alone? He goes, pause for a second, goes, well, yeah, but she meant for a little while. It's like, dog, how are you going to interpret someone telling you to leave me alone as just like a little while? No, leave me alone means leave me alone.
People like him probably also don't believe a woman when she says no. Like, that's that kind of statement, right?
Yeah.
Like, she said to leave her alone, but she didn't really want me to leave her alone. Like, she told me that she didn't want to have sex, but she didn't really mean that. Like, it's like this disgusting culture. Just because they're famous, you have the right to be in their face and know their life and not respect their wishes. Like, she should just accept that. And I don't think that's right, nor is it really fair. I understand that people are going to take pictures and they're going to do whatever, but if you literally see somebody breaking down and begging you to back off, and you still are in their face, like, it's fucked up. I've never been the type of person who is into, like, entertainment gossip, because I, first of all, I don't give a fuck about what you're doing, who you're dating, who you're screwing, whether you're gay, straight, bi, orange, purple, green. It doesn't matter. Like, I don't give a fuck enough.
Just be a good
person. Can you act and do your TV? Can you sing and entertain me? That's great. I don't give a shit about your personal life. Unless you need help or something, or you hear, like, nice little stories, whatever, that's great. But, like, I don't need to know who she's banging or what's happening. So I never understood the fascination of people needing to know everything about these people. Like, why they need to see all these pictures and do whatever. Like, why is that so important to you? For me, that just means you have no fucking life. Like, if you're that invested in somebody else's life and career, then you should probably get a fucking hobby of your own. Like,
well, it's also, you gotta remember, like, a lot of people are taking this as a career. Like, I'm a writer. I'm a writer, and a lot of times I'm a journalist. But one of the things I refuse to do is completely shit on somebody who's going through something. Like, R. Kelly, fuck him. I'll shit on him all day. Well, like, fuck that.
He's a fucking predator.
He's a predator, and he's a piece of shit. The people, the paparazzi who were, like, basically helping and adding to Britney Spears' like breakdown, fuck them too. There's a difference between, like, you know,
taking, like, casual, what is it, pictures, or like having someone beg you to leave them alone and you still fucking are in their face.
Yeah, like, journalistic integrity was supposed to be a thing.
Yeah.
But, like, you know what I mean? But it's unfortunate that, like, these terrible things had to happen to her for these laws to come into place. But, you know what I mean? You know what's bad? When even South Park's not making fun of her. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Because, like, they know. Like, they can, yeah, they can look at it. Like, you should be able to, as any
human being,
be able to look at that and be like, oh my God, no wonder she had a fucking nervous breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and then, so, I also want to get into the conservatorship.
Conservatorship,
thank you. For those who don't know, conservatorship is a legal concept in the United States. A guardian or protector is appointed by a judge to manage the financial affairs and or daily life of another due to physical or mental limitations or old age. A person under conservatorship is a, conservatee, a term can be conferred to an adult. So one of the biggest parts of this documentary was the fact that Britney Spears' father is in charge of her money and, like, and, you know, so on and so forth. And when this first started, Britney Spears was completely okay with someone being that. And she literally said, just not her father. So for someone to completely acknowledge that they may need help with that and then say to you, hey, it could be someone else, just not him, and then they still appoint this person to do it, is completely fucking nasty. And another example of, and be mad at me if you want, an American white male taking advantage of a woman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, that's something I didn't know about. I didn't know what was going on with her dad and all this stuff. But the documentary was told really well. It was just so many things you don't realize. Like, there was one particular interview where were watching, and like they gave her this like ridiculous makeup. They didn't do her nails. They didn't do her hair. They tried
their hardest to make her look like straight white trash.
Yeah.
Like for a reason though, right? Because people were still downing. Like they gave her like straight white trash hair, blue eyeshadow, like fucking super like
super pink cheeks.
I'm like, who the fuck styled her that day? And like, who wasn't like, hey, just to let you know, your makeup's a little bit like crazy right now, or like but literally, people just want to make her look crazy at that point. Like they wanted her to appear as like crazy and unkempt and unable to like do for herself. My big thing with the conservatorship was, I don't understand how anybody can profit off of her while controlling her money, right? Like, so if you are a regular everyday person and you're on Social Security and you can't handle paying for your own bills or handling your own money, you will have a conservatorship. They do stuff like that too, like they do it for elderly as well, like. Yeah. It's so that somebody else can take over your finances and help you maintain everything because you are incapable of doing it anymore. My whole thing is how and why are they getting paid from her conservatorship?
1.5% of everything that Britney Spears did, all from her music to her live performances to her her residency in Vegas. Now, from what the documentary said, and I fully believe this, she was making close to $1 million a week from their residency. Like, that Britney Spears residency in Vegas was big shit.
Yeah.
So imagine you're essentially supposed to be a good person and just making sure they don't go crazy, but you're still reaping the benefits of her doing stuff, and you're getting $1.5 million to do that when it's the everyday person isn't. There's absolutely something wrong with that.
Well, and like when the lawyer asks for a raise and when the, like, I understand that lawyers get paid because, like, it's a law firm or whatever, but like.
Exactly.
Why should you get paid more simply because she makes more? Like, why wouldn't you just get paid what you would regularly for a conservatorship? Like, why does she have to pay you billions of more because she's making more? Like, what the fuck? Like, what are you doing that's so drastic?
They were literally taking advantage of everything that she was.
Well, that, and also, like, I feel like a lot of, like, it was forced, right? So, like, if you don't do this, well, then you can't have access to your money and you can't have this. So, like, or, like, if she was so mentally ill and incapable of caring for herself, her property, her children, whatever, how is she healthy and capable enough to do a vigorous tour or to be doing Vegas shows every night or like it, but she's so mentally ill that she cannot handle anything, but you're saying that she can do all this crazy like touring and shows and that's not going to make her mentally break, right? Like that's not the problem.
I love that.
Like it literally makes zero sense that she, I guess, like, and there must be things that, like, maybe the general public doesn't know. Or is this judge, like, just, like, a fucking, like, white male? Like, fucking rest of them who, like, whatever. Because, like, when I really look at it fully, it's, like, is there stuff that we're not seeing or not being told or not whatever? She had a mental break at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That happens to a lot of fucking people. A lot of people.
It especially happens to, like, celebrities in the limelight, too.
A shit ton of people. Oh, it's happened to other celebrities. That's they what I'm just saying, didn't like, have all this happen.
She was almost like the sacrificial lamb for all this stuff going on.
No, her father saw it as an opportunity to take over all of her shit. He didn't have shit. You have to remember that.
He was
like a fucking day laborer who could barely keep a job half of the time. He was an addict, an alcoholic at one point. Like, he wasn't this, like, he filed for bankruptcy. He didn't have shit.
My point
so now all
that
of a sudden he gets to come in contact with all of this money and all of her shit. And I feel like yes, she had the mental break. I feel like she ended up agreeing to, like, go to court for a conservatorship because she was convinced that, like, oh, I'm just going to help you for a little while. And if you want to get your kids back and if you want to do all this, you need like this help. And then it became a thing where like she's doing a lot better. She's not having any issues. She's whatever. And she still can't get it back. And nobody will let go of the fact that she had a fucking mental meltdown. And it happens. It fucking happens. People have mental meltdowns. And it doesn't mean that they're incapable of taking care of themselves. It just means they had a fucking break. And they needed to stop for a minute. They needed to regroup. They needed to, like, to breathe and fucking take care of themselves. And then, like, okay, now back to business. Like,
so my point when I'm saying she was a sacrificial lamb was, like, I think if not for her, there's a lot of things that we would be seeing. Like, you know what I mean? Can you imagine if these paparazzi were as close as they were now with a lot of the rappers that go on now? They'd be getting knocked the fuck out. They still get punched in the face for getting too close. Because
I was about to say, they don't do that to rappers and shit because they'll get fucking punched in the face.
Every so often they will. They'll try and stuff like that.
Yeah, but like they not to the extent that they did to her.
Absolutely
like,
not. Absolutely
my thing
not.
Is like that's anxiety provoking when somebody literally will not, like a mob of people will not leave you alone and you cannot walk, move, the breathe. They're like on top of her. At points, like literally, like
if they could, and I'm not saying this to be funny or sexual, but if they could be inside her, they would. Like that's how close they were, and it's just like, yo, personal space. Like you know what I mean? Like in basic psychology that I was taught in high school, you have this imaginary bubble where it's your personal space that you don't want people close to. And back to something that I say all the time, that people always think whatever they have going on is more important than the next person. If the roles are reversed, these same paparazzi wouldn't want someone in their space or their loved one's personal space. You know what I mean? So it's like they literally did not give a shit. Like, you know what I mean? Money is great. Money's fine. But at the expense of, like, the things that were going on, it was nasty. Like, you know what I mean? And I loved, there's two things that I love that Britney did. One, when they had her announced, like, she was supposed to be in Vegas, was supposed to, like, perform and give an interview and all that stuff.
Well, she was supposed to be starting a whole new, like,
residency and,
yeah.
and opening this new casino or whatever. And she was basically, she showed up and then walked right to her limo and drove right the fuck off.
And then stopped. She stopped everything.
And that was the second thing. I love the fact that she was just like, I'm not doing shit until this is figured out.
Yeah.
And realistically, she doesn't have to work another day in her life.
You well, know what I mean? Like, again, though, who knows? Like, who knows what kind of games they play with her money?
That's also true.
So I think that's one of the reasons why she continued to work and everything. And I think that, like, when she finally was like, you know what? I'm not doing it anymore until you guys... She called their bluff, essentially. Like, yeah. Okay. Like, I'm not doing this anymore. Like, if you're going to fuck with my money, you're going to fuck with my money. Like, there's... Whatever. Like, I mean, with a conservatorship, there's... You really... You can't fuck around too much.
Yeah.
Because, like, then, like, there's reason for you not to be the conservator.
I'm glad they got somebody else in there.
Well, it was a bank, which is what she asked for. So that's, like, half of the battle, right? Like, mm-hmm. She asked for, like, the specific bank to be involved because she wanted somebody who was going to advocate for her, not her father and some random fucking lawyer who was literally trying to get a raise and money off of her, like... She didn't have anybody actually advocating for her and her well-being.
And that's it right there. You hit the nail on the head with that comment right
like,
there.
Like, I don't understand. I still don't understand the judge and why he insists on her father being a part of her conservatorship. Why couldn't it go solely to the bank or a lawyer? Or why not? Why does her father have to be involved?
Because a southern white male knows what's best, quote unquote, for his southern white daughter.
I don't know. You know like what I mean? I just and like he has a past as well. So it's like, oh well, she has a past of like mental illness. Well, he has a past
of being shitty with money.
Of alcohol abuse, drug abuse. Like I'm sure mental illness. Like you know, it's like you're genetically predisposed. Like came from somewhere. Like I don't understand why the court system still continued to allow him to be her conservator. Like, why, if she is saying, like, listen, why is, if she is able to work, function, do things, and she's saying, listen, I'm not saying I have to have full control of my money and I want it all. I'm saying to you, can I have somebody else handle it besides my father? I don't want him handling my money anymore. Why is that problematic? She's not saying, nope, take me off of it. I don't want to be off of it. It is very hard to get off of a conservatorship. You have to prove certain things. Like, I get that. She's saying, please let somebody else handle it. Why is that problematic? Why is that not being honored? Why isn't that being done? Like, why? I don't understand the judge's purpose for that.
To kind of wrap it up, something you said earlier is something that needs to be highlighted. We don't know exactly the intricate things that happened behind closed doors and stuff like that. The documentary did a really good job of expressing a lot of showcasing a lot of things that went on in her life. Justin Timberlake being a dick and being like, oh yeah, I hit that, and then trying to be like, oh no, I was joking, but said it under laughter. Like, you know what I mean? In a situation like that, you know what I mean? A woman's sexuality is not something to be played around with. It's a little different with the man because, like, you know, you can be looked at as, like, the big dog and stuff like that. But when a woman tells you in confidence that, like, don't tell anybody what we did, you should listen. But not even just for women, for men in general, for anybody. If they say to you, hey, do not blab this information out, mm-hmm. don't do it. It's fucked up. His career catapulted off of Cry Me a River. I didn't know about the video and depicting her as everything that was going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucked up. But we also have to remember Justin Timberlake did something nasty at the Super Bowl and then basically didn't really, like, take any accountability for his part in the situation. You know what I mean? So it's like Janet Jackson was banned from the Super Bowl, but Justin Timberlake performed at the Super Bowl. And on top of that, Justin Timberlake performed a Prince song when Prince flat out said he didn't want his music performed like that. So, like, you know what I mean? Again, I can make this racial. You have a black man who's like, I don't want this happen. White man wants to be like, oh, well, we can do it anyway because he's dead. You know, fuck him. And granted, who knows what Prince's estate and all that. But I highly recommend watching the doc. It's on Hulu. It's extremely dope. Definitely check it out.
They could have went and, like, I don't know.
But so
they're lacking some information for me, but.
But, well, I just looked online that they may be doing another one. So we may get more of this, and there's only about so much you can tell in an X amount of time. You know what I mean? They could have gone deeper into a lot of things that went on, but. And then you also have people who refuse to comment, people who they couldn't get in contact with. There's so much that could be said and done. But for what it was in the hour and 14 minutes on Hulu, the hour and 14, hour and 25 minutes, it was still, I thought it was really good. I'm glad we actually got to watch it, especially considering that you've worked in mental health.
Mm-hmm.
So there were a lot of things that I didn't get that I looked at you and paused and asked questions and things like that I just didn't understand. Even someone who has I have mental health issues, but there are certain things, like I don't have what she has.
Yeah.
So being able to sit next to you and ask these questions and you giving me your opinion and, like, you know, what the medical system, would that be the right term for it?
Our
mental health system.
Yeah.
Is garbage.
Psychiatric system is horrible.
Yeah. So it was, I highly recommend it. Look at it with an open mind. And when I post this, let me know what you think. Next up, we have probably the best show of 2021, Your Honor. All right, do you want to say it or do you want me to say it?
What do you mean?
Adam is a piece of shit.
I mean, he's your typical sheltered white boy who lives in a nice upper class neighborhood. They don't have the same worries, woes, or thoughts.
But even then, like, his father could be, you could say the same thing about his father, but again, he actually built his career and built his money, so he actually understood what it's like to kind of, like, amass an empire. Well, not an empire, amass, like, an X amount of money, so he understands that, like, there are certain things. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, if you hear snoring, that is Duke the Pit snoring vigorously.
Living his best life over
in the background. I just woke him up. So, like, all of this literally could have been avoided if Adam was smarter. And just to let you know, spoiler alert, there will be a lot of spoilers going on in this. So, if you don't, just look at the timestamps and go from there. But that kid was a piece of shit. He just, and it's not even just the typical, like, kid who doesn't know any better. His father was getting him out of anything. And then he was like, so I'm just supposed to listen to everything you said? And he was like, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, you are. Literally do everything I'm telling you to do. Not even just from a standpoint of him being a judge and knowing how these things can go. He's your fucking father and you live in his house. You murdered a kid.
Yeah.
You literally murdered a kid and bounced. Listen to your father, who is a well-respected judge and could get you out of the situation. And you know what he didn't do? He didn't listen to his father. And then what happened? He ended up paying the price. Adam is a fucking idiot.
I mean, what his father did was wrong, too.
Oh, absolutely. But, but think about what...
Like, it's not like...
He's not absolved of any of it.
Like, and so listen to your father? I mean, he should have listened to his father. He was trying to cover his ass, yes, to, like, save his own ass. But, like, the whole scenario is pretty fucked up. And, like, you have this, like, honorable judge who's had this great career who, like, tries to see, you know, fairness and on both sides and looks at disparities and looks at, like, whatever, and then his son, privileged, you know, lives his life the way he wants to live his life. Like, you, like, doesn't have any of, like, the disparities or whatever. Like, yeah, his mom died, like, that's hard, but, like...
Oh, and then finding out that she cheated?
Yeah. He's, like, the epitome of, like, privilege in America. And his dad, like, showed, like, how, like, he was looked at so differently, right? Like, because yes. He was, like, he's a good kid. But was he really? He was fucking his teacher. He was, like, a little fucking asshole. Like,
oh, then the part about, like,
he literally left the scene of a kid getting him, like, what kind of person does that? Like, realistically, what kind of person hits someone and then just leaves?
It's one thing to, like, hit someone and leave. It's another one to not accept responsibility for. Like, in the heat of the moment, you kind of do things, but when you see what happens, you go to the police, you go and go, hey, this was me, this was my responsibility.
Not in the heat of the moment. Like, if my kid left someone dying on the side of the road, I'd fucking choke them out.
No, you're right. I'm talking about Adam. Like, in that situation, Adam should have been man enough human enough to be like, even if he was in distress, when he found out what he did, he should have turned himself in immediately.
The thing is, see, I didn't see distress there. I saw, it wasn't regret, it wasn't distress, I feel like he was just worried about himself. It was selfishness. I don't, I understand, like, whatever, but, like, he literally looked at that kid and was like, and watching him choke on his own blood and just was like, fuck it, I'm leaving.
I don't know if it was a
fucking... Like, he's gonna die, like, whatever, I'm gonna go so I don't get caught.
I don't... I agree and don't. I don't think he had the mental faculties to really think like that. I think he just didn't know...
Well, he wasn't an idiot. He got into NYU, so...
There's a difference between being intellectually smart, being
and
creative.
And being sheltered?
Or yes,
being
exactly.
Being privileged and not realizing how fucked up something
exactly
like that is?
Exactly that.
But, I mean, you know if you do something wrong that you... So this is the reason why I feel he is this way is because, like, him fucking his teacher. He knows it's wrong. He just does it because it makes him feel good. Like, it's about him. Like, he doesn't give a fuck that it's wrong.
I agree with that.
He hits the kid and leaves. He doesn't give a fuck that it's wrong.
And to further your point,
he's curious, so he goes and talks to the kid's sister. Like,
that was what I was going to say.
Which is another fucking selfish thing.
So, I've had conversations with a few people about this. I talked to Just Greg, who's been on the show, and some other people, about how one of the biggest annoying, I think the reason I call him a piece of shit was, on top of everything that he did, I can even understand him wanting to pay his respects. I can understand that. My problem was,
again, it's selfish. That's for closure for yourself.
Yeah, like, you it is. It is. Well, no. I am not taking away from the selfishness of it. I'm saying I understand it. Where he was a piece of shit for leaving. So let's get that out the way right now. When he solidified himself as like a deplorable person was when he made it a point to let his face and presence be known by like walking up to the vigil and having this full on conversation with his sister, and then continuing to have a relationship with someone. He basically
selfish.
She fell in love with him. Yeah. That I'm sitting there like, how, like, and she doesn't even know. You know what I mean? And then, and what's even worse is the father's probably not going to say anything because he knows how much it would damage his daughter in a situation. You know what I mean? He's one of the worst people in television history. He is just awful.
I think he's a product of his environment. He's been told his whole life, like, you know, like.
But even then, like, look at. Like,
that's why he behaves that way. Like, because he, like, has never had real consequences. He's never had. Like, even when he did something super fucked up, his father tried to hide it for him. Like, and I get, like, the whole mob boss, like, angle and his kid dying and blah, blah, blah. But, like, your kid still did something fucked up.
Like, I mean, but look at it like that. Then I want to look at it like this. Yes, he came from a life of privilege. But you'd also look at your father, like, who became a judge, who became a well-respected person in the system. And someone that even, like, people who are disenfranchised looked at as someone who had morals.
Yeah.
So you'd figure he would take that. His godfather is someone who pulled himself up and became a well-respected person in their community. His mother-in-law, his grandmother, seemed like a bad motherfucker. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? So it wasn't like he wasn't around people where he could be influenced by in a positive way. You know what I mean? So it's like, so a lot of it, it's like he ignored all of the things that were around him. And was just kind of like, eh, you know what I mean? Like,
no, I guess so.
Like, let's take the two of us, for example. We both live completely different lives in terms of, like, you know, parents. Mm-hmm. You could have went down a different path. Yeah. You didn't, because you looked at certain things a certain way and decided, I'm not going to do that. I had, I was privileged in a sense where I had both of my parents. You know what I mean? Granted, as time went on, that privilege turned into a very toxic household.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I could have looked at what happened and been like, this is love. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Joe Budden has a line about that when he was talking about, we were saying, like, hurt and love. But then I responded, that's how I show it. Like, you know what I mean? It was a whole line. I don't remember how it goes exactly. But, like, you can... You as a person, and him being a senior in high school, these are the times of your lives where you really decide the type of person you want, you're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? You come to a fork in the road, and instead of taking the right road, he went left.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? When she started, when they had that conversation in the cafe, he had a decision to make. He should have stopped that relationship right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Happenstance allows them to be in the same place at the same time.
It wasn't happenstance. He went there looking for her.
No, because I thought she walked in while he was already there.
Yeah, but it was where kids from her school hung out.
Oh, well, he
literally went there.
Furthering.
Waiting to see her.
Furthering that he is a giant piece of shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he. And so then we get to, the ending. And you know how much I disliked it. I wasn't for it and all that. But, like, the more I think about it, the more appropriate I thought the ending was.
Why?
Let's point out something you said. He died, Adam died, exactly the way.
The same way.
The same way. Choking on his own blood.
Nobody there to help him.
No. And I thought that was super appropriate. And I'm talking to Greg, and the more we spoke about it, it was like it was everything that the judge wanted, that everything that the judge was trying to prevent
happened, yes.
And then him having to,
and
like,
it's funny and accidental.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so the more I think about it, I was like, wow, this was a great miniseries, one season, one shot, one kill, and it was. I thought it, ever, the more I think about it, it was kind of the perfect ending to all that.
I mean, it's not a miniseries, though, is it?
That's it. It was just, it's one season.
Oh, really? I thought it was going to be, because I was curious. So, like, after they brought up the whole thing about the mother and the mother cheating and all that, like, I was like, ooh. And she died, like, in a convenience store in the hood where his best friend has people who do things for him. Like, I was like, oh. And he never talked to Adam about her cheating and never, like, talked to anybody about her cheating. I'm like, did he find out? Because, I mean, he had loose morals once. Was he as moral as... I mean, that's just inference, but they could have did a whole another season on what really happened to his wife.
Considering how popular it is, I would not be shocked if this ended up becoming... if this ended up having another season to this.
But, like, they bought that up for a reason, though. Like, why did they bring that up? Like, so did he ever have loose morals before? Like, was it convenient? Like, he knew she went there for her, like, coffees. They knew that, like, she was there, you know, doing whatever. Like, and she got randomly, like, shot in a random robbery. Like, I don't know. It made me question a few things with that. Because it's like, is that why he was so secretive about knowing that she, like, cheated on him?
I'm trying to find the name of this show that we actually just finished. I think it was with Hugh Grant?
I don't know what show you're talking about.
The one we watched with the serial killer and all that. Not a serial killer, killed an artist. Oh no, it was HBO Max. It was an HBO Max series called The Undoing.
The Undoing? Do you know what that is?
Yeah, we watched it together and we almost gave up on it.
Oh, yeah.
So The Undoing starts off really slow, gets really good, and then that had a shitty ending.
Yeah.
After the whole, like, oh, will they, won't they, is it going to happen? Was he the one who... actually killed her and all this other stuff. It's like, it ended up being like the person who we thought it was all along. And it was like, it took away from like the whole mystique of it.
Well, I mean, they did that because they wanted it to be him. Like, instead of, like, it was supposed to be like the big plot twist. Like, it was really him.
But it wasn't a plot twist though.
No, because I really felt like he did it the whole time. But I think they were trying to be more creative. And thought they were more creative than they were.
Yeah. And it's funny because, like, it was so damn... I thought it was super good. I thought it was,
It was alright.
Nicole Kidman rocked as always, but something you pointed out, she plays the same character all the time.
She's always the same person.
I thought Hugh Grant was good. I thought his last little bit was awesome. Donald Sutherland, who I just found out is Keith Sutherland's dad, he rocked. I think he might have been the MVP of the show.
Yeah.
Like, I just loved, because he showed a range of emotions throughout, you know what I mean? And when he got, like, angry, I was like, yo, he was fucking awesome. The Undoing is good. It's probably something you could binge on a weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, also want to get into the Supernatural finale, because we don't really need to say much on...
Oh, you lost that whole episode?
I lost that whole episode. Yeah. But we actually didn't talk about Supernatural in that episode.
I thought we did.
We talked about The Good Place, which we're gonna finish up on. Supernatural has been... It's probably one of my top...
I thought... I hated the ending.
She hated the ending.
It was forced. It was rushed.
Hold on.
I didn't like it.
So, it was actually a show that... At first, I started watching, and then Valkyrie started catching up with me, and it became a show that was a divorceable offense if I watched it without her, or she watched it without me. Final season came on, and I loved it. I loved everything about the final season. I thought it was stupendous. Finding out that Castiel, when he died, well, quote unquote died, because no one ever really dies on that show, that he loved Dean in a like romantic way. In the speech he gave at the end of that, kind of showed it, and my homegirl Carol pointed it out, and I went to go look into it, and Misha Collins, who the actor who plays Cassiel, said, yeah, that speech wasn't saying, like, I love you like a brother. He was letting him know, I loved you in a romantic way. And considering how Sam and Dean could do the same thing and Cassiel would be angrier at Dean, made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a nice little twist. I thought it was kind of beautiful how he went out, you know what I mean? Saving the man he loved. That was cool. Now, how they beat God in the end of it, fantastic. I love how they did it. It was a very Winchester way for them to defeat God, because it was like, you know what? We're going to take a beating. We have a plan going in, and we're going to go out the way we went in. We're going to be the sacrificial lambs, everything going on. They tricked God. Mm-hmm. That was dope. At the end of it, that's how they defeated God. They tricked him. And I thought that was an amazing way to end that. Then we get to the last episode. I have to agree with Valkyrie with yes and no. Dean goes out fighting a nest of vampires. And he dies in this very
uneventful,
simplistic
way. Which, okay, I guess I get, because he's died dramatically like 10,000 times. But like, they were just like, oh, and then he died.
But it wasn't even like they just moved on, though. Like, there was a...
No, then they went on to the whole flash of fucking Sam's stupid, shitty life. Boring-ass fucking life. Like, here's a fucking flash forward of fucking Sam licking sandpaper for the next fucking 60 years.
But he wasn't just licking sandpaper. He was still a hunter. He still did the things that he did.
He was like, oh, I'm gonna hunt and then fish on weekends with my son. Like, I don't know. Like, I didn't like how they did that whole weird, like, little, like, flash forward of his life. Like, of, like... Here's, like, Sam being a hunter and then being a dad and being married and having a wife and having a son. And then, like, he gets old and he still misses his brother and then he dies and he gets to be with him. Like,
see, that wasn't a part I focused on. For me,
I don't know.
The part that was really emotional for me was watching, like, Dean getting to heaven, having a moment with Bobby, and just the idea that, like, he finally got a chance to rest. You know what I mean?
There should have been big-breasted Asians and a cheeseburger waiting for him.
And pie.
And a fucking beer.
But that's a simplistic version of him. For Dean, it was family and his baby, his car. And I kind of like the fact that he had this long, extended road where he could listen to his, like, classic rock music, put the pedal to the metal, and just go.
Yeah.
I thought that was super cool. I loved it. And I'm not afraid to say that, like, I teared the fuck up.
Of course you're not afraid to say you teared up.
I'm not, man. I'm
you
a bit...
You cry at all TV shows.
I don't cry at all TV shows. Yes, but that was sweet. I didn't...
Bro, you cried watching Toy Story. Like...
I cried during Toy Story. I don't give a fuck. But I liked it. And then, like, the ending where it's just, like, the last thing you... It's like, Sammy? Hey, Dean. I was like, oh, that was fucking perfect.
Mm-hmm. It just felt very rushed to me, that's all. Like, you just took this, like, quick little flash-forward thing, and, like, it just felt rushed to me.
Yeah.
I don't know, I just don't like the way that they ended it. There's no way around it for me. And I don't like how a lot of shows end, so maybe it's just because I don't like show endings. Although, there are show endings that I really, really enjoy.
And
like,
speaking of, let's get to it.
The Good Place. You hated...
The ending of The
I
Good
did
Place.
It first.
Let me get my shit off. I have to get my shit off. Because I said to Valkyrie, you are going to regret hating this ending. And she was like, no, I'm not. I said, oh, you are. When you go back and watch it, you're going to eventually agree with me on this. And so, fast forward to almost close to a year later. We'll say about 8-9 months later. You're, like, watching The Good Place and going back. And not in one of those situations where you kind of watch it and it's in the background. You actually, and this is something you never do, you do not go back and watch TV shows.
Not usually, no.
And that shows me how much you really,
I like enjoy that show.
The and it's like because you'll watch something, you'll rewatch something with me. Like we plan on rewatching Nurse Jackie, Californication, but you went back and watched The Good Place on your own.
Yes.
And I remember when you watched the last episode, you would drop me off at work, and you were talking about how much you love the ending, and I'm like, I told you, it was fucking beautiful. It was perfect.
No, it was perfect. That ending was really good.
Because the best, I think the part about that I loved it was all the lead characters. I'm blanking on everyone's name. What are the characters' name? If you hear a click clack, that's dude.
I'm just trying to figure out what the fuck he's doing.
He's trying to find a place. Sorry, I had to pause and restart. So we have Kristen Bell playing Eleanor, Jamila Jamil played Tahani, Ted Danson, Michael, Manny Jacinto playing Jason, William Jackson Harper as Chidi, and Darcy Carden as Janet. All the lead characters got what they like, secretly what they wanted. Tahani became, she found a way to kind of like rekindle things with her sister and find out exactly what was like the animosity was between them. Michael got to like see what it was like to be human and really experience it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he went from being like, I guess, a demon to kind of like the savior of heaven or the good place. I think my favorite part about this might have been Jason becoming like spending like when hell being like not being able to talk, that he spent year after year after year in like this forest not talking to anybody. That what I thought was a really good touch. And the fact that he wouldn't move on until he got to talk to Janet. I love that part of it. And why am I blanking on names? And Eleanor having that situation where she finally accepts that like it's time for her to go and she was the last one to leave. And then her like energy going into someone else and then leading her to Michael and then Michael kind of going like, you know, realizing that like, oh my God, this is Eleanor speaking to me from a different place.
Yeah.
I was like, this was super sweet. I thought that was absolutely incredible. And I can't say more about how much I really enjoyed the ending of The Good Place. So what changed your mind about it?
I think like I just really went back and rewatched it. Like I feel like sometimes like I will space out during shows. Like not even being on my phone. I'll just like space out in general. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I just like wasn't fully absorbing it. And then when I really sat back and like watched it again, like I was like, oh, this is actually really good.
Yeah, but you like the thing about it is you really like the show from the get-go.
Yeah, I loved the show. I started watching the show before you did.
Yeah. And you were telling, you and Diddy from BlackRabbit.com were talking about how like Eleanor is like one of the worst people in history.
Yeah, no, but you still love her.
Yeah.
Even though she was like straight fucking trash, I love her.
But I think that was the underlining point of all of it was like, you know, like
she changed, she grew, she
like, you know what I mean? Like it's like life on Earth is one thing, but then there's more to it. Like the whole thing with Chidi. Like, Chidi, like, would have gone to the bad place, but it was, like, Chidi, Tahiri, Jason, and Eleanor. They were all...
Tahiri? You mean Tahani?
What did I say? Tahiri? Oh, God. Tahani. I've followed Tahiri, like, 8 times. Tahani, like, it's, like, they were all, I guess, quote-unquote, bad people in their own way. Because I don't really know if Chidi was a bad person. He just couldn't get right. You know what I mean? And it caused a lot of calamitous things.
His need to, like...
almost please everybody.
Yeah, like, it... or, like, not do the wrong thing. Like, his philosophical, like, views and his need to, like, be that way made him, like... made him, like, fuck up shit, like you said, for other people. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how... like, I'm trying to articulate what I'm trying... No, but you're right. But, like, he... because he was so obsessive and compulsive about wanting to do that.
Yeah, like, and then you look at Jason, who was an idiot. Like, he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything maliciously.
Yes, he did.
No, I just think he was just an idiot. He didn't understand.
He stole things.
He didn't understand the consequences of the things that he did were bad. Because, like, he didn't. Like, he was just... He may know they were bad, but he didn't know to the extent that they were bad. Because he still did a lot of good things. Like, the thing with the dance group. Like, you know what I mean? He wasn't necessarily a bad person. I just don't think he understand the consequences of their action. Now, Tahani... Again, she did a lot of bad things. Deep down, she knew they were bad. But it's also a byproduct of, like, you know, being a piece of shit. What's the Joe Biden line? I'm not a role model. I'm a piece of shit. The product I've never given a piece of shit. Like, for all of her riches and stuff like that, Tahani really had to, like, earn everything that she did. You know what I mean? While her parents pretty much just gave her sister everything. And that's, everything from financially to, like, praise and love.
They did the same thing. Like, she had all the money and everything, too. But she just wasn't seen as the golden child, and that was upsetting to her. She wanted to be number one.
Yeah.
Like, oh no. Well, poor children.
Yeah. So, like, yeah. So there are layers of that. And Eleanor everything she did, she knew she was wrong. Even when she would do certain things, we saw her in flashbacks, she'd make this face like, ugh, I should have done that. And then would just, you know, cover it up because she was an asshole. I'm trying to think if there's any other shows. I think that's about it in terms of shows. I think that's pretty much all we've really been watching. Is there anything else that we've watched recently that would, like, kind of, like, warrant, like, really speaking on?
I don't know. I don't think so.
There's nothing. WandaVision.
Okay.
What are you enjoying that so far? What do you think about it?
I really like it. I don't know all of the references because I'm not into comics as much as you are, but you explained them to me. Like, I know, like, a lot of people are complaining about it because they didn't like the style of it, but I enjoyed the style of it. I enjoyed how they, like, did each era, like, each decade or whatever, and, like, was true to that sitcom type, like, style back, you know, whenever, like, the 1950s, you know, style of, like, you know, everything's peachy and lovely and, like,
all the way down to hairstyle, yeah, the clothing.
And I just thought it was really cool that they, like, they had the show progress up in the years.
Yeah, it was absolutely, I loved it. And then as things go on and things progress, we get the, and, like, everyone assumed that there was, like, this whole big thing going on, and it's like, oh, Agatha. And, like, I knew that she was... I didn't think that Agatha was going to be a big part of this, only because the actor who plays Agatha, whose name is Catherine Hahn, she's not necessarily someone who plays deeper characters. She's usually just, like, a goofball or someone who plays somebody funny. For people who don't know, you may know her more from Step Brothers, where she played Alice. Yeah, and then having her play Agatha, I thought was cool because we actually got to see her in a different setting. And sure, for the majority of the show, she was still like the happy-go-lucky character that we've seen. But then in the end of the most recent episode that came out before this episode that we're recording now started, we find out that it was her this whole time. So real quick, I'm going to play a snippet of the song, because I thought it was great. So what I loved about that more, what I loved about it was they still kept the theme of it being very sitcomish when they revealed that, like, it was Agatha all along.
Yeah.
I love that they kind of knew what was going on. They kind of had this plan for it. And I actually feel bad for the people who gave up on this show after the first couple episodes, because even in the first episode where the mother from that 70s show was just kind of in this place where she was just like, stop it, help him, help him. And she couldn't, like, she couldn't make the face of a person who's scared for their husband. And all she could do is like, smile and then say, help him. And then finding out that the reason Vision didn't know what to do is because he doesn't remember he was a hero. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so there were just so many connecting dots that that are completing this picture. And it's, I love how it's happening. I honestly think that TV shows are eventually going to be the future of superhero projects, because you can
tell. It makes more sense. It does. Honestly, like, comic books being made into sitcoms makes a hell of a lot more sense, because then you can take time to actually tell the fucking story. Like,
yeah.
You can build a season after season, the whole story, mm-hmm. the whole picture, versus in a movie, they're just taking tidbits here and there, and it pisses people off who understand comic books, because they're trying to make it easier for people who don't know anything about the comic and make it watchable by the general public, not just people that are into comics. Like, which ruins it for people who are... I mean, it would ruin... Like, it would be like... There's been books that I have read and the movie's been horrible, and I was like, this fucking sucks. So I can imagine being someone who's really into a comic book series, like, seeing a movie and being like, what the fuck? Like...
I'm trying to find... There was a specific book we all... A specific one. Is it The Stand?
What?
There was one particular show that you were, like, super into with Stephen King, and you couldn't wait for it to come on. It was like a two-part... It was a two-part movie that they did, and you, like, couldn't wait to see it, and there were, like, random scenes where, and you explained to me, like, why did they take this out? I'm like, that was stupid for them to take this out. But I think that's the problem. I think that's one of the biggest...
I'm trying to think of what movie it could have been. Like, it wasn't Bag of Bones, was it? That's an old movie, though. Like, I was very disappointed with Bag of Bones, but...
It might have been Bag of Bones. But it was something that happened, like, it was a show that came out within the last 8 years. But I remember you discussing it, and I was just like, well, why would they take this part out? And you were like, I don't know. And we've had that conversation with Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Marvel Cinematic Universe movies. And you're like, why would they do that? I'm like, they just don't have the time. And, like, so there are a lot of moments where I always come out of a movie having to realize this is an alternate reality. This, you only have 2 to 3 hours to tell a story. And even in a 3-hour movie, it's very rare.
Again, I feel like they do it to make it more likable by the audience. So, like, okay, so I can understand with WandaVision why some people don't like it, because they're expecting the normal Marvel, DC type interaction and action and stuff happening and, like, whatever. And that's not what's going on with this show. This is, like, an unfolding series that, like, is going to come to a head eventually, yes. But, like, people are so used to instant gratification and it being, like, on point, like, right away, instead of, like how comics, you have to read into it before you get to the good stuff, like, but you need the background, you need the story, and I think that people expect out of Marvel for everything to be, like, this, like, action-packed, like, fight scenes and, like, whatever, and it's not like that, like... And I feel like that's, like, a major reason why people who read comic books are enjoying it. Because it's unfolding like a comic. It's giving you a whole storyline to build up.
Yes, exactly that.
And I feel like general public doesn't like it because this is not what they're asking for. They want it to be, like, Daredevil. Like, get right in there. He's fighting crime every night.
But Daredevil, there was a lot of, like,
no, there was a lot. There was. But I'm saying, like, WandaVision is so different in the sense that there is not a fight scene every episode. There is not action like that going on every episode. Like,
there's actual storytelling.
It's story. Exactly. It's storytelling. Whereas, like, a lot of the other shows have action scenes in every single episode.
Yeah.
There's some crazy, like, plot twists. That's the other thing. There's not, like, cliffhangers and plot twists. Like,
well, there are a lot of cliffhangers. I saw someone...
I don't know. I didn't think there was Twitter, any really, like,
someone on Twitter had the best joke ever. There was, like, the biggest evil in WandaVision. And it was, like, the last scene. He goes, please stand by.
Yeah.
Because it ended. So it's not really necessarily a cliffhanger because you're not waiting, like... A lot. You're waiting a week as opposed to like a year.
Normally, like, full shows, like, like, every episode has some kind of, like, little making you want to watch the next one, I guess. Like, it does make you want to watch the next one. I don't mean it in that sense. But
it's more not anticipation, like, as opposed to,
you're trying, like, to figure out what is happening with this. Yeah. Whereas, like, with other things, you're, like, I don't know. I don't know how to, I don't think
no, you're articulating yourself perfectly. It's the difference between having a,
like, yes, you want to see the build.
A 4-year wait, 2-year wait for another movie, as opposed to, like, you wait seven days to, like, kind of sit and talk and read articles on stuff like that that you can find when I write them on oldmanwade.com, blackrabbit.com, and Bam Smack Pow. But there's a difference to it. And to your point, it's not like, let's take Avengers Infinity War, for example. When Thanos snapped his fingers, we had no idea how the Avengers were going to win that. Like, yeah. You know, we knew they were going to win, but we didn't know how. So, like, that is a real cliffhanger. When you have to wait an entire year for this shit to happen, and then on top of that, the movie...
That's not what I mean, though. I'm like... And a lot of TV shows is, like, little plot twists before they go off.
Oh, so we'll talk...
I feel like this show is like not...
Like, Michael, when we find... Like, we kind of... If you paid attention to The Good Place, you kind of realize it was The Bad Place. So, for people who didn't realize that Michael acknowledging that it was really The Bad Place would be considered a plot twist. There's only been, like, one big plot twist with WandaVision where we find out, like, that Agatha's
there.
It was Agatha all along.
But I'm saying, like, I don't know. I'm not explaining it right.
I think you're explaining it perfectly fine, to be honest.
Just feel like in a lot of TV shows, you get this big compelling moment in every episode. And I feel like that WandaVision isn't quite like that. Like, it's different. It's a different kind of excitement to see the next week because you want to know what era they're going to be in, what they're going to emulate. It's cool to see all that stuff. Like, and you want to know what's going on. It's a slow buildup.
But I think we both hit the nail on the head. And we talked about this is actual storytelling. They're really they're telling you a tale of something that's going on. Like, the more you find out about the show, the more you realize. And I said this in an article. Wanda wasn't the real villain here.
No.
And even with everything that happened, her motivation, and you know what, we can go back and connect this to Your Honor, her motivation was love. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when she went into the sword facility and took Vision, we later, and everyone's, and like, they was like, oh, she did this and blah, blah, blah. We find out that, and obviously, and
they were going to try to turn him into a weapon.
Yeah. And Scott Lang in Endgame said, you didn't know, when they went back in time, and he goes, you didn't know those Hydra agents were villains? You go, I can look at them and tell they're bad guys. Like, you know what I mean? And, like, we all knew that, like, someone in S.W.O.R.D. was fucking up. We knew that dude Hayward was a bad dude.
Yeah.
So there was no way that we didn't know what was going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when Wanda went in there, I was like, oh, she's not going in there to steal his body and then, like, use it and, like, you know, go against his wishes. She was taking him because she knew what the fuck was going on.
I mean, she still went against his wishes. She could have took him and not put him together. She definitely did that for selfish reasons.
She did it for selfish reasons, but I also get it for love. Like, some people...
No,
like,
I get it. It's still a selfish reason. If I reanimate you after you die and you tell me you don't want that, that's selfish.
I mean, if we can...
Whether I love you or not, or whether I... You know what I mean? It would be for my own...
We can look at it like... Let's look at the Terry Schiavo situation. Like, you know what I mean? Or like you know me. Like, and like, you're my healthcare proxy. So if there's, like, a slim chance that I'm going to come back, you know to pull the plug.
That you mean that you're not going to come back?
Yeah, what'd I say?
You said, if there's a slim chance I'm going
to
come back.
Oh, no. If there's a slim chance I'm not going to come back, you know to pull the plug. Like, you know what I mean? You know the state that I want to be in when I recover. You know what I mean? So, yes, it was absolutely selfish. But if you had the ability to reanimate somebody and then, like, rekindle that love, who knows how people are gonna, you know? Who knows how people are gonna react to the stimuli in the situation? I mean, one of us here was naked doing a séance.
Yeah, I was also 22 years old.
You know, we don't know how old Wanda is.
That bitch old. I'll say you, she old.
Oh man. I think that's all that I had to really to talk about. Lastly, just real quick. Do you remember your introduction to hip-hop and your introduction to rock? While you think about it, I'll tell you mine. and I may have discussed this on the show, but I don't really care. I'll talk about it again. For me, it was A Tribe Called Quest, Midnight Marauders, 8 Million Stories. That was my big introduction to hip-hop. I've heard hip-hop before, like, before then, my parents blasted it. But that was the first time I really heard a song that kind of, like, snatched me into, like, hip-hop. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For rock, it's Shadow of the Sun, Audioslave. I've heard rock music before that. But it was something about Chris Cornell singing Shadow of the Sun that, like, really just snatched me into, like, how I felt about that, you know, about like rock music and like really seeing that it's more than just like screaming over, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you remember like the first time you heard hip hop or rock and you were like, I really, really like this?
I don't know, honestly.
Cause your ear for music is top tier. Cause you hear a lot of things that I don't necessarily understand until you point certain things out with, like, the harmonies, how certain people are better singers than others, and how there's certain particular singers who can't hit certain ranges, and while they're great singers, they may not be on par with some of the greats. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
they're great entertainers.
Yes.
Versus
being
great singers. Because you can be a really great entertainer.
Janet Jackson.
Yeah, like, she doesn't have the best voice.
But then you have Whitney Houston, who had one of the most amazing voices, maybe the best voices of all time, depending on who you ask. And I bring that up because I also want to talk about this song I've been, like, killing recently, Farrah Monch's Amnesia. And, P-H-A-R-O. This is a song I have absolutely been, like, murdering because...
To a character.
Well, after this ad goes off, and I'll actually hit play on it, because I have...
You know, most people usually cue this shit up before.
Most people on the Old Man Wade Show. I remember Parks for the Joe Budden Podcast playing this, and I'm listening to this, and I'm like, just like... I was brought in by the beat in general. It's like real smooth, and you ever, like, you have these moments with music and it kind of takes you
listening?
Yeah.
I woke up to a blinding light with my face next to where am I? An attractive nurse replied, I see you. I retracted my first response, contemplated my retort, then thought to myself, okay, I see you too.
That was, when I heard that, I said, that was dope.
Yeah.
Like, just the word, like, and Farrah Monch has always been one of my favorite rappers.
Because he's a poet, he's a real writer.
Mm-hmm. His first album, Internal Affairs, is one of my favorites. I remember it's one of the albums that I bought multiple times on tape and on CD, and I was pissed when it wasn't on iTunes or streamable services. I would have to go to YouTube and find it and then just play it like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when it popped on iTunes, I listened to it again. When it was allowed to be on iTunes, I bumped it, and I'm wondering, how is this going to sound with, like, my ears being a little more, not even a little more, with my ears being different from when I remember listening to it, like, you know, year
like,
by year.
Did it transcend with?
Thank you. Thank you very much for articulating that better.
Did it come with you, like?
And it was still just as good. And I fell in love with that album all over again. And so then he puts this album out called, you figure I'd know it. Like, I listen to this album every day. You figure I'd know the name of it. It's called A Magnificent Day for an Exorcism. And he has this one song where he goes, something, something with a handful of snakes. Penetrate Medusa like a dog for obvious reasons. And I laughed my ass off. My wife's doing homework, and she just hears me bust out laughing. And then she goes, what are you laughing? I told a line. I said, I'm mad it took me 2 listens to understand what he was saying. But it's a really dope album.
Well, because we as people, right, as society in general, we tend to not always hear music.
We're listening, like, but we're not hearing.
Hear it, like, yeah. To hear what's being said, to hear. So for me, like, some people will be like, oh, I hate that song, and I'll be like, why? It's about, like, blah 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And they'll be like, oh, I didn't realize that, because you weren't listening to the words. Like, for me, it's really important what the words have to say. And that's what makes music for me. That's what makes me really like a song or want to listen to something. Not necessarily, I mean, the beat obviously is important. The hook is important, but like you have to actually hear the words. For me, a lot of songs that I really love are because of the words. It's the reason why I love Mos Def. And you, like, make fun of me.
Oh, no, I make fun
of you. For my love for Mos Def. Because he has his crazy lisp. And he might not be the most attractive man to people. But I fucking love Mos Def. But a lot of it is because I love his mind. Right? Like, I'm very intrigued by his mind. His mind and how he says things attracts me.
Yeah, but it's also
because he speaks poetically. He speaks like and eloquently, like educated and in a sense. Like same thing with like it's very profound almost, like what's being said.
It's funny for like Miss Fat Booty for being what it's about, I actually will go on record by saying I think Miss Fat Booty is probably one of the two best hip hop songs ever written and performed. Like it told a legitimate story from people who I'm pretty sure people have actually experienced all of it. Like, you know what I mean? And it's like, in terms of like storytelling and flow and beat and everything, it's close to a perfect song. And a song you put me onto, Goody Mob, Beautiful Skin. That's a song that you put me onto that I absolutely love. And you'd love this Goody Mob album. Still Standing is the name of the album.
That's like one of my favorite albums. Mm-hmm. And I still love the album.
Dude, searching for that album for like months was a pain in the ass, but I'm glad I found it.
No, because I love that album. I like that album, like the Wu-Tang Forever album. Like that was around the same time and era. Like I love those albums as well. But you sidetracked onto some other things while we were talking about Fair Launch, and I was like laughing to myself because I was gonna bring it up. Like that song that you love so much, like I feel like he just wrote that just so he could sing.
Oh yeah,
he was like, guys, I want to do a song where I sing the hook. Like yeah, I need I'll, to come I'll... up with something. Like he's definitely like
absolutely.
It was like forcing it. But I love it. Like, I love it. He does not have the best voice in the world. He does not have, like, whatever. But, like, I love it. He was like, bro, I wrote this song so I could sing the hook.
I'm going to be completely honest with you. I think he kills, like, the hook, though.
I don't think... I mean, he definitely doesn't have the range of, like, an actual singer. No. Like, I don't think it's bad. Like, I like it. I like the hook. I like that he's singing. I just think it's funny that he wrote a song so that he could sing.
So here we go. But they can stop the sound my head when I sing. When I lost out here, the sweetness of your charm, I'd never let go again. He just wanted to be like, see niggas, I can sing. Okay. I had there was this woman I knew who, used to say that every rapper wanted to be a singer and every singer wanted to be a rapper.
Yeah.
And also...
It's like me and friggin' Diddy from Black Rabbit love to get drunk God. And sing ballads. It's so, that inner need to want to belt a song. Like, it just feels nice.
And it's funny. I say this on the show pretty often. I'm a writer. I'm not a rapper. I was a terrible writer. I'm a terrible singer. I'm a great performer. But I just do not have the talent to be a singer.
You're
not
a terrible writer. Did you mean I'm a terrible
rapper? I'm a terrible rapper. I'm a terrible singer, but I'm an exceptional writer. So, and I also want to finish off with this song. I was not a Rick Ross fan until... And it's funny I say that, but you pointed out that I would always listen to Rick Ross verses and love them.
Yeah.
And then, so I said to Greg one day, I was like, yo, can you make me a playlist of like all Rick Ross songs? And I came across 16 Ain't Enough. Now flowing the river, she say my heart cool. I'm naming my son December. Whitney died night before the Grammys. Damn, what a memory. Trump Tower when I started with 10 speed. Born broke, had to use a nigga instincts. Now I get 100 racks for the 16.
waking up with turkey bacon in my big queen. Niggas hating, I'm just watching on the big screen. Three stacks on the beat and the kicks mean.
So Rick Ross is one of, he's one of my favorites because he doesn't need to say anything too spectacular or astonishing. His delivery and his voice is so perfect that he could rap a thesaurus and it would sound dope.
Yeah.
He always has like the best beats to go with
it. And you hated him.
I didn't hate him. I just didn't get it.
You didn't get it. You have this tendency to...
Gotta stubborn?
Not try new things because mm-hmm. you are so stuck in your fucking old man ways of, that's not music. These dab nabbit blasphemous kids. But like, it's like, no, there's still like newer music coming out that is actually really good. Like,
and
I have been is really
killing,
great.
And I've been killing. I love the fact that like me and my friends, every Monday we suggest music to each other and we kind of just go into this whole like thing of like music that we may not have like would normally like listen to, and it's fucking great. Hold up, this is where Andre.
Summer 8 to 8, I was 8 to 9, I was winter time.
I love fucking Andre 2000. And he's just that dude. And so there's this one song that I absolutely love from Jasmine Sullivan called Pick Up Your Feelings. And I like Jasmine Sullivan from, she did a song with Neo that I absolutely loved.
I don't think I've ever like actually sat down and listened to her. I haven't had the chance to like really listen
to
her.
Well, you're in school all the fucking time, so.
Yeah, and I'm not one of those people that can study the music because I'm too busy fucking rocking out in the corner trying to sing lyrics. And like, it makes me lose focus like on school. Even I have to listen to like classical music that has no words, because even if I try to listen to instrumentals, I will be singing the song in my head instead of.
And that's how I am with like when I'm writing, like I can't listen to music. Like I have to like. So Jasmine Sullivan has a song called Pick Up Your Feelings. And.
Run me my keys. No more popping up the idiot. I ain't even got the miles to trip on ya. New phone, who with me? Brand new, like the whip. Rock it up, no sin. Make bitch, I ain't average. Wake up, need a zip. Hennessy, took a sip. Look at my jeans, I'm too big. I ain't got no room for extra baggage. So don't forget to come and pick up your
I love that. I'm listening to it because as I'm listening to the song for the first time, I'm thinking she's gonna say, "Don't forget to pick up," because all the stuff she was leading, and then she paused and goes, "Feelings." I fell the fuck out. I was like, "Yo," because it was so dope. Like the way it was, it had a very, you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of Erykah Badu's Tyrone. And it was just, like, don't forget. I was like, "Yo, this is." Like, this was probably one of my favorite songs of the year. And from someone who's not an Usher fan, I don't really like Usher. He puts out music. I'm not like, oh, yeah, Usher has a new song.
Shut up. You know all the songs.
Oh, everybody knows all the songs. You don't know Usher and don't know the songs. It's almost impossible to like, not know the Usher songs. He's fucking Usher. So this is my shit. And I love the fact that Usher has always owned up who he is.
Mm-hmm. What, a hoe?
Yeah! Oh, I just want to point out that Jasmine Sullivan's album is called Hotels. H-E-A-U-X. Mm-hmm. So, this is I love this song.
I do like that about Usher. Like, he's literally, like, always has said it since the beginning of his career. Like,
I'm a hoe.
A monogamous man. I'm like, a hoe. Yeah, like, I have hoe tendencies. I like to fuck around. I like to sleep around. He's like, whatever.
I love, I'm just fucking bad at it. I love it, though. Like, that's just, like.
Well, because, like, who. So. A lot of times the reason why people, like, go in between relationships and stuff like that is because, like, who doesn't love that initial feeling? Like, that doesn't last forever. That initial, like, butterfly feeling, that like that the fascination and the like the infatuation and like that like feeling you get when you like get to kiss the person for the first time or have sex for the first couple of times or like whatever. Like, not to say that like if you're in a long term relationship you never feel that way again, but you don't it's not like the beginning.
Well, I think that goes for that. That's a whole other conversation that we can have another show, but it's like the idea of like feelings in general. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't necessarily rekindle moments. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There are certain things that like, but I think that's the beauty of love and friendship, like romantic love and friendship love, is like you will continuously recreate moments that can't be replaced, that can't be redone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, our first kiss was funny as hell. I asked you if I could kiss you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's a funny moment. The proposal. Our wedding. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we could have another wedding party, but, like, in another, like, wedding, like, another, like, vow renewal. But, and it may be a, quote-unquote, better moment than our wedding day.
I don't know, though. Our wedding...
I'm just saying, like, in general, though. Like, it just... But, like, it'll be a completely different moment, a completely different feeling than everything else that goes on. And there are certain times that, like, sex may be better than another time, but doesn't necessarily mean it's, like, that most... It doesn't
not better. I'm just saying in the beginning saying, like, you have this, like...
Yeah, but, like, it's a different feeling. It's certain things are special for different reasons. Like, you know what I mean? It's... And we've talked about this, about how I've been, like, kind of having this, like, idea of, like... You know, like, if you could go back in time, would you change certain things? But because I'm so into comic books and I see how, like, something as simple as missing a bus or not cutting your hair can alter your entire timeline, it's like, what do you change? Like, do you change these things? Like, are these, like, moments that you don't necessarily want to be involved in? Like, you know what I mean? But that's a whole other story for another time. But I love that just music, and a lot of music has been coming out now. I've been less stubborn with a lot of music that's been coming out because, like, Diddy, Just Greg, and Florida Man Jeff have been, like, putting me on a new music. Hobby puts me on a music, and Amanda even puts me on some soca that I can really, like, dig on. So it's cool. And shit, like, if it wasn't for Greg, I don't know if I would have the love for real rock music or even be as open to listening to the music you put me on to. Like a Disturbed, like Shout. I was like, what is this? And they're like, oh, this is Disturbed. Or like the Foo Fighter music, like you put me on to, or Paul put me on to. So like there's just, I love music. That's basically what it comes down to. This has been the Old Man Wade Show. I want to thank my wife Valkyrie for doing this literally an hour before we recorded. I was going to do it on my own, but thankfully she saved me from myself, excuse me.
Nobody wants to listen to you talk to yourself.
I don't want to listen to me talk to myself. So I want to thank her for doing this.
Even Duke goes to sleep. I'm just kidding.
Damn it, Wade!